بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته We live in a world that is now called, is considered to be a global village. And because of that, of course, many things have been impacted, many times positively, sometimes negatively. One area that has been affected, of course, is trade. So we have global trade, something which existed in the past, but perhaps definitely not to the extent to where it is today, where you can simply go online and shop for suppliers in China. Although I heard it's still better to actually go there and check them out yourself. So trade has been affected. Travel, of course, has become a lot easier. So you get on a flight, go nonstop to halfway around the world, three quarters, around the world in a matter of a few hours. Communication, of course, I don't need to talk about that because we know how dramatically communication has changed. I still remember as a kid that, calling long distance overseas used to be a big deal sometimes. They had to look at times, and it cost like $1 a minute or something, and you get the operator involved. So it just, this was not too long ago. But now, of course, all of that is gone and has become so much more easier now to communicate. So it comes with many advantages and there are some disadvantages as well. In terms of advantages, and we're talking about communication, is also media. Right, it's so easy now to get news from the furthest corners of the world. So for example, I had no idea that there was a country called Kiribati in the Central Pacific, actually the country which is the first country to get to witness sunrise every day, because it's right in the beginning of the international dateline, or right after that, an island nation, and their president apparently is currently taking a trip to the Arctic to witness the effects of global warming firsthand. Now, I think that's a pretty big deal because, first of all, it's a pretty small country. Secondly, they're down by the equator, so it's a tropical climate. And yet, he wants to see what the Arctic is like and what's actually happening because of global warming. So he's out there on a Greenpeace ship, up north of Europe, checking out the Arctic, right? Which is quite interesting. But of course, I wouldn't know this if it wasn't for the internet, most likely. So there's good news and there's bad news. Unfortunately, what happens, and I've worked in the media, so I know this firsthand as well, that good news is usually not as exciting as bad news. So that's why, you have the story that's going to be leading the newscast tonight, that's going to be on the headlines, the top story on the news websites, and in the newspaper tomorrow will most likely be a story that has some negativity associated with it, because stuff like that usually sells a bit more papers or gets more hits, as opposed to just some fuzzy good news story. Now, because of this globalization, this global village that we live in, just as fear and panic can spread within a village, as it used to back in the days before we all became into a global village. Nowadays, that same fear and panic can also spread globally and can spread very quickly. So when something happens in one part of the world, in the past, if it happened in one city, one country, one village, to a certain extent, it would be limited to that area because communication would not be as easy and media wouldn't be as quick in reporting it, and perhaps it would be not as accessible. But today, if something happens, it's not in isolation. Right? It can easily be picked up by the global media. You have a few wire services like Associated Press, Reuters, and others, and it can very quickly spread right around the world. So when something happens, it's not viewed in isolation, but rather people can now easily lump things together and connect them, so that it's not just one incident that happened in one place, but if you have a few things happening in different corners of the world, people can easily connect the dots, sometimes rightly so and sometimes incorrectly. Unfortunately, once again, we are in a situation, well, it hasn't changed too much in the past, but we're once again in a situation where Islam is being seen as a threat to peace, to security, as it has been in the past decade, right? But there's this resurgence that happens every once in a while. So something happens, we're in the headlines, then it goes down a little bit, and then something else happens, and then it comes back up. Except now, the supposed link is explicit with the word Islamic. Right? So in the past, there might have been times when the word Islam came in, but there were other terms used to identify such people or such actors and such groups. But this time, the word Islamic is right there in your face, loud and clear, in the headlines, in the news tickers, basically everywhere you look in the media. Right? So whether it's called Islamic State, or whether it's the term Islamists, right? Islam is still part of the term. And whether it's in, you know, Iraq and Syria, or the US, or in Australia, as we saw in the past few days, and, you know, Canada hasn't escaped either, right? There have been arrests here, there has been activity on that front, and there have been plots. Now, you know, these plots most likely exist, perhaps not to the, or some of these plots most likely exist, perhaps not to the extent that the government and or some politicians and the media perhaps want us to believe or want us to be afraid of, right? But at some point, it's likely that there is some of that type of activity as well, unfortunately. There's, of course, local concerns about radicalization of youth, and these concerns are shared by the Muslim community, of course, are shared by imams as well. And we have had youth in Canada that have left, have gone abroad to take part in some of these activities going on overseas. Now, regardless of who's behind it all, regardless of what's motivating all of this, and regardless of what's happening behind the scenes, the fact of the matter is that Islam and Muslims are once again associated with a four-letter word, F-E-A-R, fear, which leads to suspicion, and which can brew another four-letter word, H-A-T-E, hate. It may not always be visible, it may not always be apparent, this suspicion and this fear and this hatred, but most chances are that it is brewing. And because it's now a global phenomenon, because we're living in a global village, it has the potential to affect us as well, and affect each one of us. The Muslim community has been very clear, and we must be clearer still, that of course we strongly condemn all acts of aggression and terrorism against all innocent people, wherever they may be, whoever they may be. Whether this aggression is committed by individuals, whether they're Muslim or otherwise, whether it's committed by armies representing countries or their agents, we condemn it all. Because this is not what Islamic values teach us, nor is it what liberal democratic values preach either. So this should be very clear to all of us, to our neighbors and to our fellow citizens as well. And furthermore, as citizens and residents of Canada, we have a duty and a responsibility, and this should also be very clear, to be law-abiding citizens and residents. Okay? By virtue of being here, whether we've signed explicitly on a document and agreed or not, we are, whether explicitly or implicitly, bound by this agreement that we have, this understanding that yes, we are to be citizens and residents of this land. We are going to live here, build our families, build a home here, raise our children here, and take the benefits, all the great benefits it has to offer, alhamdulillah, and at the same time, we are going to abide by the laws and regulations here. So once again, we see that hate against Muslims is on the rise. The number of people who are concerned about Islamic extremism, radicalization is on the rise. And again, we see that a growing number of people are questioning the place of Muslims in our country here in Canada. Now, the natural reaction when the spotlight is on someone, especially if you're a minority, is to hide, is to get away from it all, right? Because it's uncomfortable, it's disturbing, and if you have nothing to do with it, you don't want to have any part in this type of discourse, in this type of environment. But that is counterproductive. That approach is counterproductive because it implies guilt, right? When there's a search going on and there's a police helicopter in the sky, who are the people who are running and hiding? It's the criminals who are hiding and running, right? Not the people who are just going about, you know, taking care of their business, who have nothing to do with the crime that has been committed, right? So if we try to hide and if we try to just cut ourselves off, it is counterproductive, because even if you're not guilty, it can imply that we have something to do with what is going on. So these things cannot be ignored. And if we don't tackle it now, if you're not proactive now, then it may very well be possible that our children will have to tackle the same problem, and perhaps it may be 10 times or many times worse. So what can we do? Number one, we need to stand up for our faith and our community, right? There's no question that Islam is misrepresented by the media at times, by other Muslims, let's face it, by politicians and leaders, and sometimes by people of other faiths as well. And what happens is, you know, too often I think we're too quick to pin the blame on others, right? So we will say that it's the media's fault, or it's the people who hate Islam, or it's so-and-so, and so on and so forth. And while that might be true, to a certain extent, we need to start with ourselves. So we need to look at ourselves first. What have we done? What efforts have we made, each one of us, to correct the problem, to present a positive and correct viewpoint, to set things straight? Or have you just looked at it, read an article, saw something on the news, heard someone say something, got angry, blamed someone else for it, and moved on? Right? How have we reacted? That's a question. And if that's what we've been doing so far, then that is not the right approach. The Prophet ﷺ has said very clearly, this is something a hadith we often quote, that whoever amongst you sees something objectionable, what has he told us? What should you do? Let him change it with his hand. If he's not able, then with his tongue. And if he's not able to do even so, then with his heart. And the latter, meaning knowing that it's wrong in your heart, is the weakest form of faith. So the Prophet ﷺ has told us clearly that we need to take corrective, positive action. Right? Action, of course, that needs to be legitimate and permissible and legal as well. So sometimes we see government officials, politicians sometimes, will either knowingly or perhaps unknowingly make statements, false statements, incorrect statements about Islam, about Muslims, about Islamic organizations sometimes. We have a responsibility to speak up, to express our displeasure with the comment, with facts, and to educate people. The Prophet ﷺ has told us that أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ كَلِمَةُ عَدْلٍ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ حَقٍ عِنْدَ سُلْطَانٍ جَائِرٍ. Right? That the best struggle, the best form of jihad is to speak a word of truth to a tyrant ruler. To speak a word of truth to a tyrant ruler. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that Mr. Harper is a tyrant ruler, although perhaps some people would agree, but what it tells us is that there is value in speaking up. There is value in simply speaking up and having the courage to think about what you're going to say and to say it, and of course to say it in a respectful and proper manner, which is backed up with facts. So similarly, if a newspaper runs an article or an editorial or an opinion piece that contains misinformation about Islam, then we have a responsibility, we have a duty upon us to speak out about it, to let them know, but do it in a responsible manner. Which raises the question, actually, do we even know what is happening locally? Do we even know, are we even aware of what is happening locally? Do we know who is saying what about us? I'll tell you, as someone who has worked in a newsroom, that newspapers pay a lot of attention to the letters to the editor. Okay? And this is how they're able to understand what the readers are actually thinking. I mean, now you have online comments and so on, but I think everyone sort of takes those with a grain of salt. But if they get serious letters to the editor, they take notice. And when I was working at one of the major dailies, it didn't take much to get the editor's attention. You didn't need like 200 letters to come in. You only needed like 5 or 6 or 10 on one topic, and then they're like, oh, okay, something's going on here. You know, this is what people are actually thinking. Because as a journalist, usually, you don't get an opportunity. You know, you may have 200,000 readers, you write a piece, usually no one gets back to you. Very few people write back, right? So when a slightly greater number of people start responding, then that certainly gets the attention of the editors and the people in the newsroom. So it does have an impact. If every member of our community is engaged with the media, reads the newspapers, watches the news shows, and writes a letter to the editor every time that Islam and Muslims are misrepresented, it will have an impact, inshallah, and it has in different places, in different cities. So blaming the media will not do anything, right? Because it's the easy way out, right? It's a scapegoat. So you say, yeah, okay, it's their fault, and then that's it, we move on, right? So, but that doesn't achieve anything for us, or achieve anything positive for anyone. So blaming the media will not do anything. Responding and positively engagement might get something done, inshallah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ السَّيِّئَةِ. Repel evil with that which is better. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, gives us the guidelines of what type of response we should give. Not an emotional one where we just, you know, go off on a rant. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. That good and evil are not equal. So repel evil with what is best. Not just what is better, but what is best. And you will see that the one you had mutual enmity with, him will turn as if he were a close friend. So this is the type of response we should be aiming for. That what can we actually say to someone to help them understand in such a way that when they read and understand our response, they actually become a close friend instead of being an enemy. So this is the type of response we should be aiming for. So that's number one. Secondly, we need to get people to know us. Right? Studies have shown that knowing a Muslim has a direct correlation with having a positive view of Islam and Muslims. Knowing a Muslim has a direct link with having a positive view of Islam and Muslims. The Pew Research Center study done in the United States some time ago found that the majority of people who knew a Muslim had favorable views of Islam. And the majority of people who had unfavorable views of Muslims didn't know a Muslim, had never interacted with a Muslim. So to fight prejudice, to fight discrimination, and make ourselves more acceptable, we definitely need to reach out to people. So this is what I mean. Hiding for cover is not going to help. We need to reach out to people. To reach out to your coworkers, reach out to your colleagues, your neighbors, politicians, local reporters, whoever it is, anyone you can. And don't hide your faith. Right? Don't hide your faith. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You have nothing to be ashamed of as Muslims. So don't hide your faith and deal with them according to the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, which is kindness and mercy. Right? This is what we've been taught. So try to be friendly for your neighbors. Look out for them. And this is a major part of Islam. Regardless of who your neighbor is, regardless of their faith or their ethnicity or their gender or whatever, it doesn't matter. Reach out and look out for your neighbors. Alhamdulillah, we had this initiative at Eid al-Fitr where we encouraged the community to give gifts, right, to our neighbors at Eid with that postcard that said thank you. Right? Little things matter as well. You know, if their garbage can is flying away, pick it up for them. right? They're away in their recycle bin and other stuff is just like, you know, flying around on a windy day. Pick it up, put it by their door. Right? It's going to take like 30 seconds, right? Little things. You see some suspicious activity, right? Report it, right? Whatever it is, be on the lookout as a good neighbor and be helpful in the times of need. Now, we know there is an election campaign underway, a municipal campaign, and we'll have one of the local candidates for council coming in to say a few words, inshallah, at the end. So that's about to happen in October. And the federal election is coming up in about a year's time. And actually, it seems like the campaign is already underway, unofficially. And there's a lot of preparation going on, and we know that as well, because we've seen candidates come here as well. So this is the time to get involved, right? To get to know the local teams and the candidates, right? If there's an issue, right? It doesn't have to be just a Muslim issue or an issue that affects us as Muslims. It could be any issue. Write to the local MP, to the local MPP, member of provincial parliament, the mayor and your city councillor. So be vocal and make it known that yes, we are here as active and productive citizens who actually care about our city and our country and are concerned and are engaged and are willing to help and contribute in a positive manner. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. That who is better in speech than the one who calls towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and works towards righteousness, does good deeds, and says, وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and says that I am one of the Muslims. Right? So don't be ashamed of who you are and of your faith and of your identity. Right? Be proud of being a Muslim in a good way, so not in a conceitful, arrogant way, but in a good, positive way. And get to know people, reach out to them, and show them the true character of a Muslim, the true positive character of a Muslim, so that when they compare what they hear from perhaps people in the media or chain letters, yes, chain emails, they still go around in certain communities about Muslims and about Islam, and then they compare what they're reading and hearing to their personal interactions with Muslims like ourselves, they see a discrepancy. They see that the interaction they've had with individual Muslims has been very positive. And what they're hearing is not proven through their interaction. So then they can understand, you know, that what they're hearing is actually a misrepresentation of Islam. What they're reading about Muslims is actually not the way it should be. So that's number two. Thirdly, secure your sources of Islamic knowledge. You see, one of the biggest challenges today is figuring out the most correct or the most appropriate approach to acquiring, to practicing Islam and acquiring Islamic knowledge in our situation. And also, the understanding and rulings derived from verses, you know, that talk about struggle, that talk about war, you know, this is something that a number of people, a number of Muslims have difficulty in understanding. And a misunderstanding of these verses and teachings can lead to basically a disaster. Because thus, it is absolutely vital that we seek knowledge, first of all, and guidance, but do so from qualified scholars and authentic sources. Okay, I've asked people and I always get the same answer. What do you do when you have a question? Mufti Google, right? Sheikh YouTube, that's where we go. Right? You put in a question. Honestly, right? A lot of us do that, right? Perhaps even the majority of us do that. And if you know where the answers are coming from, then you can perhaps navigate your way. But it's very easy to lose your way because, and you can just search like practically anything and you'll get a whole spectrum of answers, like a whole spectrum of views. And then you're like, okay, what do I do now? Right? So it's extremely, extremely important that we have qualified and authentic sources of knowledge. Right? So people who, first of all, have knowledge, so they've actually studied, not just read articles here and there, right? Actually studied something, number one. But not just studied, but also are people of taqwa. Right? Because those, both of those have to go together. Right? You can have someone who's knowledgeable, but is not conscious, is not fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just goes around spewing all types of different things. Okay, so knowledge And also taqwa, and we can talk sometime about, you know, how to figure that out. But you can tell through a person's actions. We can't tell for sure. But as my dad would say, we don't have a taqwa-meter to go around people and see what their taqwa level is. Yet, you can tell, you can get an indication through a person's actions. Another important characteristic is that the scholar you are getting your knowledge from should have an understanding of your circumstances, should understand the world that you're living in, should know what you're dealing with. Right? So ideally, if that person of knowledge and taqwa is here and understands your circumstances and your situations, that's better. If they're not here, then okay, at least they have an understanding, have exposure to how life is here and the challenges that you're facing here. This is very important. And I would also say that they're actually available for you to communicate with. That you know who they are. They're not just some figure you found online, right? Who you don't really know anything about. You're not able to communicate with easily. Should be someone who is available, who you can actually go back and forth with, who you can talk to if you have concerns. Someone who is recognized in the community as someone who is knowledgeable and a person of taqwa, and so on and so forth. So these are some of the qualities and characteristics that we should be looking for. Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, who is tabi'i, you know, known for his book of interpretation of dreams, he said that إِنَّ هَذَا لَعِلْمَ دِينٌ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ عَمَّنْ يَأْخُذَ دِينَ. That this knowledge that we're talking about is a matter of your deen. This has to do with your faith. This has to do, you know, explaining what he said. This has to do with your akhirah, with your hereafter. This is a serious matter, right? This is a knowledge. This knowledge is a matter of deen. So be careful of who you take it from. Be careful of who you take your deen from. Be careful of who your guide is, right? Because this is a serious matter. It's not a joke. It's something that can have very, you know, serious implications and ramifications. So be careful about who you are taking your deen from. So be judicious when you come across something. You know, when you come across a view or an opinion or an explanation of something that is related to the deen, to religion, you know, weigh it. Weigh its implications, its consequences, what opposing or differing views there are. Ask someone for help who can guide you. Right? The guidance we've received in the Quran, Allah has told us, it's about you know, something specific, but generally scholars have taken, the commentators of the Quran have taken it as a general rule, that فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Right? Ask the people who know, ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. Right? So if you're searching on the internet, you're coming across different views, or even in books, and you're confused, ask someone, ask the people of knowledge so that they can guide you. So do your homework, do your research, and just don't fall for anyone who sounds convincing, or just fall for anything that you read on the internet. And unfortunately, there are those people who will purposely like you to get involved, to get you involved in certain things, to serve their own agendas and their own interests. So to recap, number one, let us be at the forefront of representing our faith and our community responsibly and wisely. And secondly, reach out to people, no matter who it is. They're all our fellow citizens, our fellow human beings. Get to know them. Get them to get to know you as a Muslim, and be proactive in doing that. And finally, secure proper sources of Islamic knowledge, and be careful about who you take your guidance from. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our community and all people safe. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and the wisdom to stand up to these challenges. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread peace all around the world. Ameen wa akhra da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Just a couple of announcements, inshallah. So, alhamdulillah, as I mentioned last week, we are in the process of rolling out our regular weekly programming. So last week we had the first session of I Discover, which is a documentary screening, which we had in this room right across the hallway from here, last Friday night. This Friday night, inshallah, tonight, we're starting a new program called Khutbah 360. Okay, and the idea here is And I experience this every day, right? So I'm up here speaking, as I have been for the last 20 or so minutes, or whatever, 30 minutes. And, you know, I really don't know what questions you have. I don't know what's going through your minds. I don't know what other perspectives you may have, right? So I think there's value in, first of all, me hearing those questions and those thoughts, and also in sharing those ideas and those thoughts and those questions. So we'll be having this once a month, inshallah, Friday nights, between 8 and 9 or 9:30, inshallah. We'll pray Isha here as well. We'll be choosing a couple of topics from the last month or so to discuss, inshallah. So the two topics that will be discussed tonight will be about friendship. So we had a khutbah about friendships some weeks ago. The other one will be about work ethics, excellence, and motivation, which we talked about last week. So everyone is encouraged to attend, inshallah. Bring your families. And this will be an opportunity for those who are not able to make it here, or perhaps not on time, who have missed a part of it, to review. So I won't give the whole khutbah again, because, you know, the whole talk again, because we'll run out of time. But we'll do a summary, inshallah, and then have a discussion, and any questions that you have, inshallah, I'll try my best to answer it, or perhaps someone from the audience can also answer them, because obviously I don't have all the answers, inshallah. We also started our tafsir sessions called Divine Words. So these are happening every Wednesday. The timing fluctuates from time to time. So for all of these programs, please do visit our website, canadamuslims.ca, for the latest timings. And the tafsir session, we try to limit it to 30 minutes. Some people have said to make it a bit longer. I'm not sure about that. But still, 30 minutes on Wednesday evenings. So timings are on our website. The next session, inshallah, will be taking place after Maghrib. And this is happening at our Musalla, the Canada Muslim Association Musalla, which is at 1120 March Road in Hillsview Plaza, across from the cemetery entrance from the back at the door that says KMA. Okay, so you can't miss it now, inshallah. And of course, finally, please do continue to offer your support, moral as well as in other ways, and financial as well, inshallah.